welcome to this week's episode of Wow. Scratch that. Let's try this
no
again.
Way that stays right out of the gate.
Oh.
Right out of the gate.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This.
Aw, you got it. Yay. Oh,
my brain needs to slow down today.
I love it when we just start the show and it's like that, just because it's like, yeah. Here we go.
Yeah,
this is it. Where we go.
This is as good as it's getting today. Mm-hmm. We actually decided to kind of talk about something like it's not like, you know, anything like depressing or anything, but
no.
But something that doesn't get talked about often today, which is women's health. And sort of connecting to that, I realized at my annual exam this year for mm-hmm. my lady parts doctor, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to get my first mammogram because I'm 40 now.
Oh, let's talk about that really fast. Wait, do you? Is it 40 now?
I think my doctor said I should get one at 40 just to be safe.
I think that's very smart. I had to start getting mine at 35.
Right.
Because
you have a history of
your
family. Yeah,
because my mom is a breast cancer survivor. She had breast cancer at 45.
Okay.
And let me just tell you, I have a mammogram coming up myself. Our mammograms are going to be really fucking different. I get them every year. And let me just tell you that I'm like basically making out with the fucking machine because my tits are so small. And I always like feel like I need to apologize to the nurse where I'm like, I know this is like a lot of work. And you know, you raise your hand
right.
And then they manually lift your boob. And they put it on the thing.
And they squish it like a fucking.
If you don't have a boob to squish. Like, I am like up in that thing's grill. Like, I'm like, yo, and I can't move. It's the booby squishing machine. Meanwhile, my yoga teacher, Jenny,
right,
who's will happily tell the story anywhere, found out when she went for her mammogram that they actually have plates that extend that they can add on. So when your tits are like that big, sorry, I call them tits, when your breasts are that big, you actually have like an extension because it goes past, so like it's not hanging over. And that's where she was at. They're like, we have to get the extended plate to because her boobs are so big.
I mean, what?
Like, I can't even wrap my head around it. I remember when my mom got diagnosed.
You certainly couldn't wrap your boob around.
Not even close. When my mom was diagnosed, my friend Mandy and I went to coffee with her and her mom. That was my mom's best friend, Mrs. Basler.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you used to call your parents' friends Mrs. somebody? That's like, did you ever?
No.
Oh, we did. No, it's not
we
a thing
didn't.
Anymore.
That wasn't my. Thing.
I mean, it's Susie, but we went out to coffee with them and, you know, Mandy and I were like, well, how did you know? What did you feel that made you go and get an exam? And my mom was like, well, I was doing a breast exam.
Right.
Like, you know, in the shower.
Super important.
Very important.
I'm reminding myself right now.
Yes, do self-exams. And she was like, you know, I found a small lump. And I said, well, how small? And she was like, you know, it was about like the size of a golf ball. I was like, mom, that's my entire boob is the size of a golf ball. But my mom has really big boobs.
Right.
And so to her, it was small. But I was like, what? And she was lucky. They caught it really fast and they did a lumpectomy and they took out her lymph nodes.
Okay.
And she had a chemo and radiation. And then, you know, she went into remission.
Right.
She took some sort of medication for a while. But I just did my yearly pap smear. Always a good time.
Yeah. No, but this is like a serious thing to talk about.
Yeah. And it's not talked about.
It's not. Women's health often gets overlooked. I know that you are really passionate about this, as am I. And not only just women's health, but we really also need to remind people that women of color suffer even more medical mistreatment and not being not believed and all kinds of stuff even than white women do.
Yeah.
So
go back and listen to our episode with Lindsay Addario.
Yeah.
Is important because she tells some stories about that have haunted me, honestly. And I think about them all the time.
Yeah.
About, you know, black women suffering
and
dying for that matter.
Yeah. But we on this show we're very sex positive and we are super sexual health positive. So today's episode, we're talking about things that a mom and OBGYN recommend for optimal sexual health. And we are going to get to that right after this break.
Perfect.
They say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but if you can't see, there's really nothing to behold. So thankfully, there is Felix Gray glasses, and they will help you see clearly.
Yeah, it's funny how that works, you know? I've been wearing prescription glasses since I was in first grade, no joke, and this is my first pair of Felix Gray's best-in-class blue light lens. And this magical lens helps give me the clarity that I need to get through my day without a headache.
Yeah. And see, I don't really wear prescription glasses, but I'm glued to my screen like 23 out of 24 hours of the day, which can mean blurry vision, eye strain, headaches. But with my Felix Gray blue light glasses, there's only one thing I'm feeling, and that's relief.
That's because their blue light lenses filter 15 times more blue light than other leading blue light lenses. Plus, they relieve symptoms of digital eye strain and support your visual well-being. And who doesn't need that these days?
Yep, exactly. And 5 years ago, Felix Gray set out to revolutionize eyewear by designing a lens that would improve the effects of daily screen time.
Since then, Felix Gray has been on a mission to create better relationships with technology. And because of this, they've developed a world-class blue light blocking lens that diminish the irritating side effects of blue light, like tired eyes, headaches, and sleep disruptions. That's me.
Oof. If you want 2022 to be the last time you ever suffer from the side effects of digital eye strain, start the new year off on the right foot with Felix Gray.
Regardless if you're looking for non-prescription or prescription glasses, Felix Gray has got you covered. Check them out now. FelixGrayGlasses.com/say this.
That's FelixGray glasses.com. SAYTHIS. Free shipping, free returns, free exchanges. FelixGrayGlasses.com/say this. We're back with another stellar episode of Never Thought I'd Say This because
you can say
we're nothing but stellar. I mean, this is a podcast brought to you by the egregious errors we commit, so you don't have to. Yeah, learn from our mistakes, people. Do what we say, not what we do.
Except,
or actually, don't even do what we say.
Except when it comes to doctors and sexual health,
right.
Because actually, you and I are both really on the ball about going to doctors and getting checkups and being cautious. And we will
talk about that. I'm not always the best at getting checkups when things are, I'm like, oh, that's a weird pain. And then I just let it go. So, you know, I'm not always great at it, but I keep my annual appointments.
Oh my
so,
God.
You know,
I'm a
every
Jew.
Year I'll find out if I'm dying or
I'm
not.
A Jew. So I'm always like, can I live here? Is there a thing that I can go to a doctor for? Because I will. You know, it's fine.
Well, today we are going to talk about an article in Parent Magazine from OBGYN, Tarana Shirazian, MD. I really hope I said that right. And she wants to tell people to not only love themselves, but love their vaginas, should they have them.
Yes.
Yes. And we realize that should you have one.
Get your junk checked, no matter who you are.
Right. Frankly. Just get it checked.
Men too.
Keep it fucking healthy.
Yeah.
In good condition.
Keep your junk healthy.
Yes. But in her experience, back to serious things, in her experience as a doctor, Dr. Shirazian found that for some people that the vagina may take on negative associations. And I certainly think that's true. What do you think? Like, society-wise, do you think?
If you follow me on Instagram, I think more of my stories than not tend to be about, you know, women's health and sexuality and advocating for your bodies, because that's always been a big thing for me.
Right.
Yeah. I think the word vagina, people like freak out about. I don't know what that's about at all. It's never made any sense to me. I didn't teach my kids like to say like your hoo-ha, you know,
or
anything
like that.
Well,
it's actually really important to teach your kids the proper terminology.
Yes.
We talked about that before. You know, in cases of abuse, they need to be very clear about what has happened, and your kids should know their body parts.
They
it's
really
their body.
Should.
It's like nothing to be weird about.
It's not touched on in this article, but I will say, because it does actually have a lot to do with women and getting checked out, is the number one killer of women in their 40s is colon cancer, which is what killed my sister. And partly it killed my sister because my sister had been pregnant and had probably low-grade cells before she got pregnant. And when you're pregnant, your body will do anything to protect the baby. As those cells grew, they probably grew more rapidly because it was taking resources that would have fought them to protect the baby. And my sister was really fucking terrible about going to doctors. I don't think she ever had a mammogram. She was definitely in her 40s, you know, and should have. She would just kind of blow things off. Like, she was really bad about it. And she and I would get on it. I was, you know, 3 years older than her and frequently like made doctor's appointments for her, because I'd be like, you have to go to the doctor. And after she had the baby, she hadn't actually even really gone in for a lot of postpartum stuff because she had just moved. And she told me when I was visiting her, it was like 2 weeks after she'd had Adam. And she said she felt this weird sort of like lump right under her rib cage. And she's like, I don't know what it is. It feels really weird. And she said, maybe I pulled something when I was pushing.
Right.
And I said, yeah, maybe, but, you know, go to the doctor. And she was like, well, I don't have health insurance yet. I'll go soon. I said, go to Planned Parenthood. Like, go anywhere. It doesn't matter. Right. Go to Planned Parenthood. They do checkups. Like, yes, go to Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
And she was like, and she didn't go. And then, you know, 3 months later, she got rushed to the hospital because that pain kept getting worse and things started happening both from the butt and the vag. Right. Like, things were happening. By the time she got there, she was, you know, in stage 4 colon cancer. It had metastasized. And what she was feeling back then was actually the tumor.
Mm, yeah.
Don't let little things like slip by you. And for women, especially because it's not spoken about, it's weirdly taboo. And we are in a patriarchal society. And as you've noticed, you know, people don't care as much about what happens to women. They just right. don't.
Right. It's not at the forefront. You know,
there's- and it's messed up. Like, right. It's messed up.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, because Dr. Shahrazian had found that, you know, for some people, the vagina, which takes on negative associations, they find that this part of their body is kind of difficult to understand and talk about, and that she really wants to use her experience as a doctor and a mom to come up with 3 recommendations mm-hmm. that will optimize sexual health for people with vaginas.
Love. I mean, I don't always understand my own vagina, so I don't Look, know what to tell you.
There's a lot of things I don't understand about myself, but I think that treating that body part in particular with such a weird taboo is something that, you know, we've come to be like, oh my gosh, we don't want to talk about it. Like, it's just a weird word that you don't even want to use.
I don't get it.
You know, we were talking about optimal sexual health for people with vaginas, and the World Health Organization defines sexual health as the state of physical, emotional, mental, and social well-being in relation to sexuality. Mm-hmm. I really like that definition because it really does encompass the whole range of, you know, psychosocial, yep. emotional
yep.
components of yep. sexuality and what that is. However, she mentions that this is a narrow definition, doesn't highlight the complication associated with this topic, which I definitely agree yeah. on. Our sexual health can be impacted by other health issues and social factors in our lives. So when she thinks about sexual health, she thinks about vaginal health, hormone balance, and mental health, and that all starts with really talking to your doctor about it and talking about what's going on anyway and yeah. not trying to hide it, not being weird or, you know, shy about it.
No, and teaching your kids that it's okay to talk about also so yeah, they come yeah. to you
definitely
as things happen.
Especially raising young women, you know, you yeah. have to teach them like, look, if there's something going on, I need you to come to me. I don't want you to be weird or ashamed or right. you know, get some sort of infection that you can't deal with. Like, we all need to keep ourselves healthy. It's just like going to the doctor and being like, oh, I have an earache. You know what I mean? Like, hey, something's wrong.
Right. Right. Well, and so one of the first things that she points out, and this is actually like has been a big discussion with my girls and I since they were born, uh-huh. is vaginal pH.
Ah.
Don't mess around with that. It's yeah. like its own, you know, rainforest. Like, it right, actually right, right. deals
very
with itself.
Very delicate little ecosystem.
Yes. So you got to be careful there. And I had a babysitter once who, you know, I love. And she would give the kids baths and stuff. And she said to me one day after I came home and she had, you know, gotten them ready, she said, oh, you know, Lulu told me when I told her to, you know, to wash her vagina, you know, with soap. Right. And Lulu said, no, I don't use soap down there. And she was like, I tried to get her to, but she wouldn't do it. And I said, no, she's right. Don't. She doesn't like, please don't do that because soap actually will kill that now. And she's like, well, but like, and she was in her 20s. So she's like, wait, so what do you do? You know? And I was like, well, the hot water does it in the bath, right. you know? And I was like, and around the outside is fine, but like, you don't want her to put anything up there because right. it kills the pH.
Well, and bubble baths, you know,
yep, be careful,
like, be really careful giving.
That's a yeast infection waiting to happen.
Well, not only that, UTI. I think when I was yeah. little, I loved bubble baths, and I'm pretty sure I, you know, got a UTI from just sitting in the bubbles in the soap all the time. So that's pH is like super delicate. And you know what's interesting too?
One of the thongs that, also mess up your pH.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
They do. Well, they used to be on me, but now I'm fucking almost 50, so no.
I feel
not
like
anymore.
I feel like thongs got, like, they were the thing, and now like it's a little more cheeky.
I'm a boy 40. Short girl all the way. I'm old.
Anyway, so you know, maybe don't wear a thong every day. Maybe yeah.
I'm like a step away from granny panty. Like, and I'm gonna own it when I go there. I don't really fucking care. Like, fine.
So the pH is like this balance of bacteria mm-hmm. that is the key to feeling comfortable. And yes, we have bacteria everywhere. There's good bacteria. I think we all know this. I hope we all know this.
God, please. Probiotics is bacteria.
Right.
All you kombucha
drinkers. But, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of young women are taught, I never was. It was not something that was taught like in sexual health, which I was really glad because it wasn't something that I had to undo, was douching, which can be really
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
for your vaginal health. Like it complete, especially like the scented ones and stuff. Like don't do it.
That's a cultural difference. Also, I know Italian. Living in Italy, that was like a big thing. I remember like a campaign had come out when it was changing. Israelis as well, by the way. All of my black friends grew up, and they would always like talk to me about, you know, like, oh, you know, did you start your first douche? And I was like, no, my mom said that's bad for me.
Right.
You know, but like it's a cultural thing. It was just a difference in cultures.
Yeah. So what we know and what most doctors say is like that is, it really disrupts the pH. It can actually make your body produce more bacteria there and do, you know, all kinds of things.
Maybe that's why we call, when people are being douchebags, like it's a bad connotation, right? Because it's like they're disruptive fuckers that mess with like the ecosystem of your life.
I mean, I feel like that's a very existential description of what calling someone a douchebag means. But, you know, we can go with it.
Douchebaggery?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Okay.
When this disruption occurs, infections like bacterial vaginosis, yeast, all that create a cycle that can disrupt our sexual health. And some women can get recurrent infections that last months and affect their daily lives and sexual relationships.
Yeah.
So if you think your pH is off, if it's itching, if there's a smell, unusual discharge, all that, head to your doctor. I know there's probably women out there listening that are like really uncomfortable with this topic. And I'm going to be honest, like even talking about it, I'm like,
discharge is a hard word to say.
I hate that word.
It's the one of the worst ones.
Right. What else? Even like discharge me from the hospital. Yeah, like, can you say like eject me or I don't know.
Kick me out.
Kick me out. Release me. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But and so if there's women out there listening, like, oh my God, I don't want to hear about this.
Sorry.
I get it. I'm with you, but like we all need to talk about it, and myself included.
It's the same. I know we always joke that like it's, you know, boobies, periods, and vaginas on this.
Right.
And today it really is. We've already hit boobies and vaginas, and I'm gonna actually bring up periods. Like right now.
There we go.
Because honestly, that's the other part of it, is like being cautious when you have your period, and tampons can cause that. Be careful of what you're using, because you're still putting that up you if you haven't switched to a Diva cup, or if you can't stand the thought and you need to use a tampon. I get it, but try an organic one. Know what's going into your body.
Right.
There are chemicals in tampons, like mainstream tampons, that make you bleed more.
Yeah.
So that you'll buy more tampons. They are not, like, that's so messed up to me, because they're not really completely FDA regulated, which I find.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Right.
Like, so watch that, obviously.
Actually, that's a really good point that I'm going to
change.
Yeah.
You really should know what's going on.
I've tried the Diva Cup.
I know you hate it.
I just can't get it in there to where it doesn't leak.
It really does take
and
a lot.
It
may be the wrong size.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not going to go into all that detail.
Yeah, and Thinx underwear. I'm like, Thinx,
they do not, you know, necessarily pay for ads on the show, but no, I will shout them out right
me
now.
Me too.
Thinx, T-H-I-N-X, is
the
like
best,
life-saving.
They really, and sheet saving, for the love of God.
Seriously.
Like, seriously, they're so good. And by the way, that's another thing women are afraid to talk about. Their periods. If your periods are weird, and we're going into this right now.
Yeah.
Something's off. Like, if all of a sudden your periods change, then it's probably hormones, which is the next thing that Dr. Shahrazian actually talks about that we need to know.
I mean, we talk about hormones quite a bit.
Yeah, well, because I'm so perimenopausal. It's like ridiculous.
Occasionally I'll get a little warm myself.
The night sweats for me. It's like,
I've had, last night I was like, why am I so hot?
Unreal.
It's happening. You know, hormones are something that like we blame a lot of stuff on, like emotional things, but we don't realize just how much it messes with how our body functions.
Yeah.
You know, I know for me, like I start getting, you know, really PMS-y and I'm like, oh my gosh, my entire body functions differently. My digestion, my thoughts, my emotions, my everything. Like it's a full scale shift.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that like just little hormones can completely throw my life off.
Well, I mean, not only is PMS real, but I can testify that I went from PMS into PMDD.
Yes, I have another friend who suffers from PMDD.
Holy
incredibly
God.
Awful.
It's really bad. I mean, I talked about it on the show once that, you know, there's like one day, you know, sometimes 1.5 days where I feel unbelievably like depressed and sort of suicidal.
Right.
Like I wouldn't do anything, but I feel that. And I know that that's partly my hormones. I've actually at least gotten on, you know, a good regimen of leveling, you know, herbs and stuff. Although also, please know what you're taking. I had one doctor tell me.
You should tell this story. Yeah. This is actually really interesting and made me think about it. Like, oh shit, what supplements and things am I taking that maybe I just go like, oh, it's fine. It's just a vitamin. Like my doctor won't care.
Yeah. And they do. And doctor to doctor, they'll care. So I was having night sweats, no joke, every single night, except for maybe two of the month. And I did not know what was going on other than I was like, I must be about to hit menopause, but I'm still getting my period. So I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. What's happening? So my doctor, I have a new doctor, and he ran all these tests and he was like, it's really strange. Your levels are fine. You know, you don't know, by the way, this is something else I learned. You don't know if you're perimenopausal ever. You just know when you're menopausal. There is no test to show you.
You're right. It's just like things start going a little wonky and then eventually the whole thing tips over.
That's right. Yeah. So like I thought, oh, it'll show in my FSH and all that stuff.
Right.
It does not. So and I'm still getting period. So and while they are wonkier for sure, they're still coming. So I was like, oh, that's messed up. So what the hell is causing night sweats like every night? He's like, you should not have night sweats every night.
That's awful.
He referred me to a female OBGYN. I'm with Kaiser. I love them so far. Right. I will tell you, I went last week to go get my annual. And while I'm in the stirrups, she's a mom. We start chatting. She's going to listen to our podcast. I was like, oh. I am the only person that like vagina out is like, oh, you should listen to our podcast and like get a new listener.
Wow. Well, I'm just going to say hi to Celia's doctor. I'm not going to reveal the name because I think that's a HIPAA violation.
That probably is.
I just want to say thanks for listening. Yes. And I'm so glad that maybe you tuned in for our sexual health show.
You know, when your feet are in the strips, it's like, you know, it's like you have a conversation because you're like, I'm not chatting it up.
I mean, well, I guess sometimes. Yeah.
Like, I do.
Yeah, that's true. She'd
I get like the nervous
talks. What trips have you been on or what this like to try, right. You know.
Well, so I just went to like, we were talking about, you know.
What you do. And you were like, hey.
Well, we were talking about my C-section and moms. Right. And then it like went to that. And then that's where we went. Anyway, when I got home after I went to my doctor, I did a deep dive into my supplements, things that I've been taking.
Right.
Two supplements I was told to take by a nurse crack. They are fantastic. And one of them is a hormone balance one. Mm-hmm. It's been working really well. I take it during those 2 days and I feel a lot fucking better. Let me say that. And then the other one was another doctor, my primary care, had told me to try taking red yeast rice to lower my cholesterol that I was told was high. My new doctor did the test and was like, your cholesterol really, it's not high for your weight and height or anything. Like, you don't have to worry about it. Like, just don't eat so much red meat, which I don't. So whatever. And I was like, okay, I went piece by piece, ingredient by ingredient on every single thing. Red yeast rice was the last one I went through. Wouldn't you know it? It has the same effects as an actual statin, I think is what
statin.
It's called.
Right.
Which is what you take when you have cholesterol stuff.
Right.
One of the main side effects is A, liver damage. And I got sent in to get my liver looked at because something was off in my liver enzymes.
Right.
And fucking night sweats.
Wow.
Went off of them. Yeah. Now I just get night sweats when I should about to get my period.
Wow. Yep. Yeah. That's super important, you guys. You know exactly what you're taking. And also, not only that, like, you know, take the vitamins and supplements, but tell your doctor or tell a medical professional exactly what you're taking. I'm guilty of it too. Like, I'll take a bunch of supplements and be like, whatever. I take some of this and some of that and meh. Like, you need to be detailed because obviously, like, that's a thing. And you need to look at side effects because, you know, we think, I mean, I know I do. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, it's just vitamins or it's, you know, it's just natural stuff. And
right.
No, sometimes that has just as much of a side effect.
Yeah. And it was interesting because when we do ads for care of vitamins and you have to take a test.
Right.
And in that, it like asked you, have you had weird side effects with anything? And I was like that. And it's not in any of the things that they, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, that's sweet.
You know? Great.
So that's a big deal. Hormones, watch it.
Right. And because, you know, the hormonal flux as you get older, like it makes you feel, you just don't feel like yourself.
No.
It changes your menstrual cycles. It changes your emotions. It changes, you know, all kinds of stuff. But heavy and irregular bleeding can throw off that vaginal pH we were talking about and result in infection and dryness.
With all the things going on in the world, I know taking care of myself and my body, it's so important. And that's why reprioritizing my health has become a main goal for me in 2022.
Yeah, me too. I have been traveling so much for work lately, and having Care/of's prepackaged personalized vitamins has made sticking with my routine so easy. I literally have it sitting on my nightstand. I wake up in the morning, I get a packet, I put it in my purse. I never miss my vitamins. And I was so bad at doing that before.
Oh my gosh. I know. I was too. And I love that it's so convenient. I also love that I don't ever run out because of the subscription service. It makes prioritizing my health so simple and so easy.
Yeah. And focusing on my health and finding a routine that works helps me stay healthy and active enough to go through a lot of really long days when my schedule is insane. And sometimes it's really crazy. So doing this is easy thanks to Care of's daily packs that make taking my vitamins effortless.
Care of is a subscription service that ships high quality, personalized vitamins, supplements, and powders conveniently to your door every month.
Yeah. And they do this with the help of a short quiz, and that's such a breeze, but somehow addressed a variety of health goals that I have. So I was really impressed.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So was I. And the quiz was so simple and I found out so much.
Oh yeah. I'm taking stuff for my iron, for hair growth. I mean, it really, and I really noticed a difference.
Oh, so have I with my moods. As I've mentioned 1,000 times, perimenopausal, it's addressing all of those things. So for 50% off of your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code SAYTHIS50. That's TAKECAREOF.com. And just enter the code SAYTHIS50 for 50% off of your initial order.
Look, ladies, we got to talk about periods.
Yeah.
Okay. Stuff can happen. You can get some sort of infection. Go talk to your doctor. Don't panic and like try and treat it at home. Don't, what I heard somebody the other day talking about, I don't know, some weird homemade remedy for putting something like some sort of yogurt because of the what I was
for yeast infections.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, don't put yogurt up your vag.
I mean, you can, but the sugar, honestly, in yogurt is probably going to give you more of an infection.
Ew,
so I wouldn't
gross.
Do it. That's what
don't
Monistat is for.
It.
Although, and diet and exercise plays into all of this.
Yes.
Plays into how your, you know, what your period's doing, what your hormones are. It'll help regulate your hormones. It also will help your pH get balanced.
It's your vagina is sort of like a little self-cleaning oven.
That is true.
Like it takes care of itself.
Yep.
Cleans itself out, and you got to keep it in good health, which means exercising, eating healthy, probiotics, all that kind of stuff. And if there's anything, and look, if you're on birth control too.
Oh God.
I was on birth control for years. And if you're on birth control, that can really mess with things. When you go off of birth control, all of a sudden you're like, is this the crazy that's been hiding the whole time?
Right. And not just pills, the IUD also hormone in it.
Right. Yeah. You know, it all of that stuff really messes with our heads, with our bodies and all of that. So make sure, you know, that you're talking to your doctor about these things and looking up some of the side effects. You know, yourself.
Well, and all of it affects like your relationships as well with other people, the hormones, you know, how you feel about yourself, your confidence level, like all of that. And it does affect your sexual health. Like you want to, you know, I mean, I want to be able to have sex still. Like,
yeah, God, I'm not dead.
Like, you know, and also I don't know if this really needs to be said. I really hope it doesn't need to be said. But for the love of God, ladies, pee after sex and not like 20 minutes after sex.
Right.
Get up and pee. Cuddle after if that's your jam. But like, go pee.
Yeah.
Because that is the UTI,
UTI. You know, I'm going to be honest. I had a UTI that like would not go away for just months. And like I kept getting them, like horrible ones that would send me to the ER.
Yeah,
where I was like,
I've had that.
My insides are on fire.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are like antibiotic resistant. I mean.
Oh, yeah. It was awful. It was awful. But one thing that the doctor does recommend, Dr. Shirazian, she says that a healthy lifestyle change before starting hormonal medications is really important because that's going to give you the long term health that you're looking for. That's going to really help. You know, look, your body is going to go through these hormonal fluctuations anyway. So if you can achieve that balance through exercise and natural supplements, she says it's a much better strategy as you age. But of course, you know, the decision is totally up to you and obviously how severe your symptoms are. But I think she says you should sort of try and ease that transition with as much natural supplements as possible and treating yourself well before jumping right into any of the hormone balance and stuff like that.
Well, and remember that having kids changes your hormones.
Oh,
and
God,
they don't necessarily go back to the way they were. I mean, having kids changed my period. I used to have, no joke, I was the girl that had my period for 2 days.
Right.
And I used two tampons and I didn't have cramps or anything like that. And then I had the kids and it was like, oh, and now I understand why people can't go to school for 3 days.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like I never got it until then where I'm like, oh, this is like the one day where I actually can't leave my house because I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Like there's no amount of diva cupping, tampons, anything. Like I'm done. But give yourself the grace to also understand your body and know that that's the case.
Right.
And like plan around it so that it doesn't affect your self-esteem, that it doesn't, you know, mess up with your mental health, which is the next thing that she goes into.
Yeah. Mental health is obviously, we beat you over the head with mental health.
Yeah,
I don't
know
if that's the way we should say it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We really like mental health on this show is so important. Therapy, all of every kind, self-reflection, all that kind of stuff. It really, really, mental health is key. And having a good state of mind and good mental health is key to having optimal sexual health.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the state of your own mental health, that mind-body connection is off.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been there. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're like, I'm physically here, but mentally I'm not. Or mentally I'm here, but physically I don't know where I am. You know, like it just, you can't seem to connect the two. And you're like, oh my God, this is, and you just start psyching yourself out.
Well, yeah. You know, here's something we don't talk about on the show. And
wow,
most people.
Being all honest.
We don't talk about this a lot on the show. And we also don't talk about, or I don't think we've ever had this conversation really, although we are asked to have it. But like.
Never thought I'd say this.
Never thought I'd say that as a grown up in my 40s, I'm so much more secure sexually than I was in my 20s, which if you'd ask my 20-year-old self, like I thought I was like the shit. But of course, I was so insecure about, you know, what my body looked like, what my vagina looked like. Like, you know, guys talk, you know, they do. We've all heard guys talk like about women's body parts. Absolutely, we talk about it. That's why we know they talk about it too.
Exactly.
And so, you know, you're like, oh my God, do I smell bad? Like, you know, is it hair? No hair? Like, what's going on down here? And I pretended. I mean, I guess we all probably do in our 20s, unless you're just a fucking superstar. I just didn't realize that in my 40s, I would actually enjoy sex so much more because I'm so much more comfortable with my body and my vagina.
Well, I mean, I think that also just comes. I was talking to somebody the other day about being in your 40s and particularly as women, and you kind of just go like, oh my God, this feels so much better.
Yeah.
You know, and you just kind of go like, I feel okay in my own skin. Like, I feel like I'm able to, you know, accept myself more, flaws, all of that, and really be more present. But sometimes that mind-body connection, you know, is really hard to get to. I mean, I know sometimes if I'm like really busy, there was a great article you sent me too about that transition.
Yeah.
About transitioning between roles, between, you know, mom and wife, girlfriend, and fiance, you know, there's
sex.
And into sex, right? There's like a huge transition that happens there. Like I've just been yelling at someone for leaving, you know, macaroni and cheese in a bowl and scrubbing a dish, you know, while the dog, is doing something over in the corner or whatever.
Right.
And now I've got to turn off all the lights and remind people to set alarms and do all this. And then I go upstairs and I'm like, I'm not.
Right. It's not sexy time.
It's not. No, I'm like, I need.
It's not business time.
Hold on. I need to go like in, what is it? Return to Oz, where she goes and like changes her head. Like I need the other me on there.
But you want to feel good about yourself and and masturbation, which we almost never fucking talk about. We got a fan asked us to. We did one time, but masturbation is really key. Figuring out what you like. Orgasms are a super huge part of, you know, having a healthy mental state and physical function. I also read a really great article about that, about women and orgasms and about how much pressure is put on women to orgasm and how much we put on ourselves, and that's why women fake so frequently, because if you can't do it, that you get in your own head, you know, and you feel like you're gonna let the guy down, and so you feel like you have to put on this show,
right?
And this article was like, you don't though, and it doesn't need to be the end all be all is to achieve orgasm. You can still really enjoy sex without there being that for us. That's
right.
The difference with us.
Right. And I think, you know, fostering those healthy feelings around intimacy and around it being more than just like the end, the end point, the orgasm, the getting off, like, but really about connecting with somebody or connecting with yourself. Like, sometimes you're like, I just need to shut the door and like get back in my own body and in my own self. And that's hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard. And you know what? You're right. We don't, I think as a society, we don't talk about this a lot. I think that is changing a little bit, because I think people are realizing that sexual health is a part of mental health, is a part of having a healthy relationship, and is something that, because we don't talk about it, we cross boundaries with it, and we don't, you know, and now all of a sudden it's like, no, we got to talk about this stuff, because when we don't talk about it, like, that's when the problems happen.
As a busy working mom, I do not have time for a 10-step process to address all of my random things going on with my skin. You know, I have some crow's feet I don't love. I get redness here and there. All of a sudden, I used to break out where I never did before. And, you know, I really need help with how my skin is reacting to the change in season as well.
Seriously, I really relate to that. And this winter, my skin has been so dry. I've been up here working in really cold weather. My face, you know, having makeup on every day, it's just my skin has been freaking out. And I have been searching for a simple but effective skincare routine. And I found it when I discovered Proven Skincare.
I love Proven so much. Proven Skincare formulas are amazing. They are rooted in the world's largest beauty database, the Skin Genome Project, and the winner of MIT's AI Technology of the Year Award. Hi, smart people made it.
Yeah, Proven Skincare is rooted in science. They have analyzed the universe of skincare by studying the effectiveness of over 20,000 skincare ingredients from over 100,000 skincare products and over 28 million testimonials. So all this data has given Proven the ability to pinpoint exactly what your skin needs.
And all of this analysis results in Proven Skincare's custom three-step system that actually works, including a personalized cleanser, day moisturizer with SPF, which we all need no matter where you live, and personalized night cream. This simple and effective system replaces my shelf full of products that honestly were not working very well in the first place.
For sure. And plus, my formulations are updated every 8 weeks to evolve with me. So any changes in my skin or environment or how my skin acclimates to the active ingredients, it's addressed every few weeks, which I love. And it's definitely starting to get a little warmer in LA. So I love that I can update my product as it gets hotter and drier at home.
We all need that. Seriously. I mean, with the weather these days, you just kind of never know what you're going to get. So give your skin exactly what it needs with Proven Skincare. Go to provenskincare.com to take the free skin genome quiz and use code SAYTHIS for $20 off of your first order. That's provenskincare.com, code SAYTHIS for $20 off of your first order. One more time, Proven, P-R-O-V-E-N, skincare.com, code SAYTHIS.
The shit that you used to hear in middle school, like the sex advice.
Sure.
Oh my God.
Yes. If your guy touched your vagina with his finger, you'd get pregnant. Like dumb shit like that. Like
I just remember hearing all kinds of things that now I'm like,
I don't remember anybody in my life until after high school, girls, talking about masturbation for women. Guys, or it's like fine to talk about, like, oh, I went and jerked off.
Right.
Like, it was never a thing.
And then it's still a very stigmatized thing. You know, one of the podcasts that we love, Good Moms, Bad Choices.
Yep. They talk about that a lot.
They talk about that all the time. Yep. And, you know, I have several accounts that I follow online that I love. Thongria, who is amazing. She and I have actually talked. She's so great. Zoe. You know, I like there's some really wonderful sex positive women out there. Wildflower. What is it? Wildflower Sex? Mm. She's kind of long reddish hair. She's great too. But like all about sex positive masturbation, like healthy sexuality. I think we just put such a taboo on it. And particularly, again, for women, we don't talk about, you know, our vaginal health. We don't talk about our periods. We don't talk about
hormones. Even talk about our sexual needs that much, I feel like. I mean, it's more and more now, but like we don't really, like you and I do, but like we
don't. Not with each other, you fucking weirdos out there. No, I'm just kidding.
There was going to be somebody.
Right.
I think that's part of that like taboo. It's fine. I remember in my 20s being with my friend Nicole and another one of our friends who I will remain nameless. And somehow we were talking about masturbation. Right. And the friend of ours, a girl, you know, girl, was like, oh my God, I've never done that. In her 20s,
yeah.
She was like, I've never done that. Like, I don't even know. And Nicole was like, who's also a social worker, was like, wait, then how do you even know what you like? Like when guys, when you're with a guy, like how do you know? Or, you know, she's straight, but even if you're with a girl, how do you know what you like? And she was like, I mean, I don't really. Like, I just figure that's what it is. And Nicole's like, okay, listen, you need to go home and like lock your door and like get to know your vagina. Like, I just remember being like, that's the best advice I've ever fucking heard.
Yeah.
Like you do. How else can you, how are you expecting a guy to tell you what
or
you like?
Or a girl.
Or a girl.
A person.
Another person. Yeah. How are they supposed to know what you like more than you do? Now, they may stumble upon that. Good on them. But, you know, there's probably something where you're going to lead them. And again, I think it comes back down to that pressure of like, I'm supposed to orgasm, so I just have to act like I enjoy it. No, you don't.
You get to have a choice in your sexual expression and your sexual health and how you take care of yourself. Right. How, you know, look, you want to wax it all? Awesome. You don't? Cool.
Right.
Like all of those things also, I think women need to know, like, that's yours. It's not like, oh, what is somebody else like? What's comfortable for you?
For you.
That is that mental component of optimal sexual health, which is really knowing yourself and being comfortable with that part of yourself. There, you know, look, and I think as moms, you're talking about shifting gears and doing all that stuff. Ugh. As moms, oftentimes you're like, I do not feel sexy and attractive. I've just been like yelling at people. I feel like shit.
Right.
I'm frustrated.
I haven't showered.
Like, right. Well, or even if you have, like, you just, your mental state is like, oh, I just am not. Or you're playing with kids or you're, you know, watching a cartoon.
In the beginning when you're nursing or changing diapers, you're up all night, like nursing. Like when my husband would, I'd be like, you have to get the, take a step back. Like, don't touch me. Don't touch them for fucking sure. Like, I'm done.
Right.
And even when you have toddlers, like someone's clinging on you like all the time. And then it's like the last thing that you want at that point is to have sex. That being said, as a therapist, I will tell you it's important to try and push through that and find times to reconnect because it's really hard after you have kids and you can end up super hating your spouse.
Exactly. And it's that, you know, partner. Those feelings of intimacy that will cultivate, you know, positive relationships with trust and communication. And not only with partners, but trust in yourself.
Yeah.
And that open communication of knowing what it is that you want and what your boundaries are and how to take care of yourself.
And don't let your partner ever make you feel bad about wanting sex, not wanting sex, and making choices like, you know, and asking for things in sex. Like, don't, people have their own kinks and their own things that they like.
Right.
And like, don't let, if that's a person that's like, ugh, oh yeah, or makes you feel badly about it.
Right. If they kink shame you, fuck them.
Fuck them.
If it's something that maybe they're not into,
that's different.
If that's their boundary,
maybe they're like, maybe that's not the partner for you.
And, right.
But also maybe you can find
other things.
Compromise.
Exactly.
But talk about what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Women aren't, we're supposed, I feel like women,
I'm very guilty of it. I'm very guilty
of
it.
Are you?
Yeah. My whole life.
Anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
I was until I got divorced and then I was like, fuck this noise. Like, and I started acting. But I will also say in my marriage, there were things that I, you know, knew I liked and asked for.
Right.
And he made me feel bad for them.
Mm,
and that was hard to come back from. And really, I had to do some like digging into like, wait, is this normal? And then realize that like if you're two consenting adults and you're both into what you're consenting to, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
So like let your king, you know, fly that fucking king
fly your freak flag.
Fuck it. I mean, it's that and do. And again, like you said, do it for yourself. Like figure it out on your own first. Like explore porn. That's another thing that women are taught. Like,
well, right. And like there is, you know, female centered porn.
Yeah.
More
now
film,
anyway.
All that kind of stuff. Wish I could remember. I know I've seen some of the sites, but I wish I could remember.
Well, Bella, there's a Bella something. That,
yeah.
That, yeah.
Do Bellessa, you really? Yeah.
They made so much news, and I'm like, are they in my favorites? Yes, they are. And I'm
fine.
Yeah,
but you know, I just want our listeners out there, and even you know, if you're young women, know your body, know what your body feels like normally, mm-hmm. because if you don't, if something's wrong, you're not gonna know. You know, being in tune with your own body, I think, is so important. And we shame ourselves and sort of go like, oh, it's, you know, I don't want to talk about it. I'm embarrassed. But there's nothing to be embarrassed about. This is a piece of you and a piece of who you are and how you express yourself and who you love and how you love yourself. So, you know, optimal sexual health for moms, but women of all types across the board. And, you know, just human beings in general, sexual health is really important. And it's something that we don't like to talk about because we're like, ew, it's, you know, so weird and puritanical about it.
Yeah.
How the hell you think we all got here, guys?
I know. Get the fuck over it. Oh, my God. Watch Big Mouth. We know we talked about Big Mouth before.
Big Mouth is great.
Watch Big Mouth because, you know, it's like one of the, it was the first show I think that I was like, oh my God, they just talk about like girls and hormones and masturbation like all the time.
Oh my God.
And I was like, God bless it.
Anyone who's ever been through middle school as an adult, kids don't watch Big Mouth. It's a little, well, I mean,
well, I don't know. I mean, Harper watched it and
that's
I was
true.
Like,
they're
yeah, kind of,
anyway.
I mean,
but it's really, it really delves into like all of the ridiculous shit that you think when you're a middle schooler.
Pen 15, penis,
right.
Is another one. I just finished watching that. I was very late to the game.
Okay.
And oh my God, they have an entire episode about masturbation. One of the girls, one of the friends. I was like, I've never seen it done this way. It's wildly uncomfortable, but also hilarious.
Right.
And misinformation. Like, total misinformation,
right.
Lying about it. Like, and you're like, oh yeah, like, you know, it, but it was, and it's funny because Harper had started watching it and dropped off and I went all the way through, but she started watching it before me. She's like, yeah, I only made it to like the third episode. And I was like, you couldn't get past the masturbation episode. Right. And she was like, yeah. She's like, it was a little too much. And I was like, well, fair enough.
Look, all of these things are super important. And Dr. Shirazian, who, again, we got this article from Parent Magazine. She said, really, there's a checklist for kind of maximizing your sexual health, which pretty much sums up what we've talked about above. You know, exercise 3 to 4 times a week if you can, even if it's just going out for a walk. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes that's hard, but any kind of movement really helps. Helps your mental health, helps your physical health, which obviously helps your sexual health.
Right.
This one was really hard. And I know it's true, but I didn't love this, where it was like, minimize weight gain.
I know.
Dr. Shirazian aims for a 5-pound range. I just never, I don't like talking about weight. I don't like saying weight. So that one I don't give a fuck about. I mean, I know you're supposed to keep yourself healthy and that's really all that I care about.
Yes, I agree.
Like, wherever your happy body weight is
right.
and that you feel good at, like try and stay within 5 pounds of that all the time. You know what I mean?
Well,
weight loss or rapid weight gain is never a good idea. And it can be a sign of something wrong with your thyroid.
That's me.
Also, avoid internal vaginal products. Only use external cleansers. Don't douche, you guys.
Don't douche.
Call people douchebags.
Don't douche.
Don't do it yourself.
Right.
This one's nice. Achieve hormonal balance. That feels like when, like, achieve nirvana. You know, like, you know, do your best to really, I mean, I sometimes will, like, month by month keep in my phone, I have a little tracker.
Me too.
And I will
start tracking,
like, my moods
yep.
and my symptoms where I'm like, oh my God, like, my boobs feel gigantic.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be like, okay,
mine never
that
do.
Well. You try. But, you know, all of that kind of stuff, keep track of it because sometimes it'll change or sometimes it'll get worse. And you're like, oh, my God, is this, I can see now over the past 6 months, like this particular symptom has gotten worse and worse and worse. Maybe I need to, you know, get it checked out or something's
yep.
happening. And also have good communication with your partner and make time. That sometimes can be near impossible.
Yeah.
Even if it's 5 minutes before you go to bed.
Yeah.
To just talk and connect with each other.
And let your partner know your cycle.
Yeah.
Like,
I think actually my fiance probably knows my cycle better than I do because I'll be like, oh my God, this is happening. Then he's like, isn't it like kind of almost that time? And I'm like, yeah, oh my God, you're right.
Yeah, like, he like buys you and Zoe chocolate. Like
he knows.
He's
a very smart man.
I mean, that is a very.
He wants to keep out of danger.
I just flat out like say to Dustin now, like, I have cramps. I just like tell him. Also, I just want you guys to know a client once said this to me. And I thought it was so fucking brilliant about anyone who gets their period will get this.
She was like, any
menstruating individuals will get this reference. So my client gets on the phone with me and she's hilarious and I love her. And she's just bitching about something. And she's like, also, I have my period. And it's like, you know, that day when you have like fucking 5,000-pound vagina. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's the show.
It's like carrying a cannonball.
Like you're like, why? Yeah. And I will walk around in front of Dustin and like hold.
You're just like,
vagina.
I have a 5,000-pound
vagina. Yeah, I will say that now. And he's like, great. And then of course the other day he was like, so wait, so I can get this straight. You can talk to me about your period, but I can't talk to you about how much I poop. And I was like,
you're like, no, it's different.
Yeah, that's
now.
Still.
Why are
no.
you bringing it up even? Oh, God,
because he does it to me all the time. I'm like, I don't need to know. And he just does it to piss me off. Like I'm doing it to piss you off right now.
Yeah. Well, so does Moscow.
Duty.
Anyway, have good communication with your partner. Just not about that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Seriously, though, look, Dustin, stop telling me about your poop. I don't care.
Well, you guys, I'm so glad that you stuck around for this show. It's a super important thing that we want to talk about. To moms and all people out there to, you know, keep your sexual health important. Get tested.
Yeah.
If you are not monogamous with a partner, make
sure
you're tested all the time. Yeah, it's totally fine. But just make sure you get tested. Stay safe. Always, you know, use protection. All of that kind of stuff. And, you know, keep an eye on the vaginal pH, the hormones, and your mental health.
Yeah. Watch Pen 15.
Yes.
Watch Big Mouth. If you have not watched Amy Schumer, most of her stand-up has something to do with everything we talked about.
Yeah.
God bless her for the act that she had, or the bit that she has about tampons and how, like, normalizing periods and how you'd stick them up your, can you have a tampon? And, like, our girls are like, do you have a tampon?
Right,
like,
yeah. It's just
the room.
Has become much more normal.
Yeah, she's normalized a lot, and I fucking love her. And I just, everything that she talks about, and she's such a big proponent for women's health as well.
Yeah.
Which people don't know.
Well, everyone out there, stay healthy.
Yes.
Ladies, check your thing. Check your badge.
And I'm going to stress again, if you are of over 40, mammograms.
Yep.
Colonoscopies, when you can get them, if there's a history, you should be getting them after 40, yeah, for sure. You get them every 5 years. And if there's not a history, and this goes for you too, ask your doctor to do the screening test.
Yes.
Poop on a stick, guys.
Yep.
It's really fun, but get them. It's really important. It would have saved my sister's life had she gone to the doctor and taken better care of herself.
Yeah.
And so please, please, please make sure that you do.
Take care of yourself, you guys. And also remember, you can follow us on our YouTube channel, mm-hmm, where we have weekly episodes of us being ridiculous together. And it's just fun and silly. So check us out on YouTube. Never thought I'd say this. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and to that channel. You can find me at Jody Sweeten on Instagram and TikTok. And you can find us at Never Thought I'd Say This across all social platforms.
Except for Twitter, which is Never Thought I'd. And you can find me at Vesalia Bihar, wherever I might have a social media account that I don't really know how to use.
All right, you guys, stay healthy and remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids or your vagina.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audio Boom original.